Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Christian disciplines, the ordinances. In this session, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17, baptized believers. Personally, I was baptized twice. Well, if I count my infant baptism, it was three times. And why? Why was I baptized twice as an adult in the same Baptist church? First in February of 1981, and then again in April of the same year. Well, it was about my conviction resulting from reading Acts chapter 2, verse 38, which reads, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" So I, based on the encouragement of people, I prayed to put my trust in Jesus Christ, and I was baptized. And then a month and a half or so later, I then went to a festival and realized that I wasn't saved. But I was saved at that festival. So when I came back, being convicted that I needed to be saved for baptism, then I got baptized a second time. It's important as Christians that we understand the ordinances of Christ. These are ordinances, are the commands given to the church for all believers. Baptism and the Holy Supper are these ordinances. Baptism and the Lord's Supper, they're both pictures. Baptism is a picture of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Baptism is a picture of what happens when you are saved. The Lord's Supper is a picture to help you remember Jesus Christ. The Lord's Supper is a picture to help you remember His Lordship in your life. Baptism and the Lord's Supper declare your trust in the Lord. First, in this session, let's consider baptism. And then we'll look at the Lord's Supper in the next. Baptism is not necessary. Hear me. Baptism is not necessary for being in the kingdom of God or the universal church. Baptism does not save a person from sin and its penalty. Salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ alone. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." And yet baptism is necessary for membership in the local church. And why is baptism necessary for membership in the local church? Because Jesus commanded it. Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission, verses 19 and 20. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Notice that they were not baptized to become disciples. They were baptized because they were disciples. A disciple is one who follows Jesus, a believer. Jesus himself was our example in baptism. Look at our text for this session. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to verse 17. "Then Jesus came to Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and you're coming to me?' But Jesus answered and said to him, 'Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." What is the definition of a local church? Well, the local church is a body of baptized believers in Jesus Christ who have bonded together to carry out the Great Commission. It's a body drawn together by the Holy, by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a body of believers, those who place their faith in him. It's a body of baptized believers. Outward identification with Jesus Christ and with one another as Christians. Again, baptism is only for those who have believed. We refer to this as believers' baptism. In the New Testament, baptism always followed faith. This is why we don't baptize babies. They are incapable of belief in Jesus Christ. Acts 2:38, which I read earlier, at Pentecost, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Holy, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit.'" In Acts chapter 8, verses 12 and 13, with the Samaritans, "But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. And then Simon himself was also believed, and he was baptized. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done." And then in Acts chapter 8, verses 36 to 38, the Ethiopian, "Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?' And then Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him." And then in Acts chapter 9, verses 17 and 18, the Apostle Paul, "And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has come, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight again, and he arose and was baptized." Then in Acts chapter 10, verses 44 to 48, the centurion, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." And then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And then they asked him to stay a few days. And then in Acts chapter 16, verses 14 and 15, Lydia. "Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' So she persuaded them." Then in Acts chapter 16, verses 25 down to verse 34, the Philippian jailer. "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loosed. and the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, Do yourself no harm, for we are all here. And then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And so they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. And then in Acts chapter 18 and verse 8, the synagogue ruler. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Baptism is demonstrated to be believers' baptism. If baptism is necessary for salvation, there are two problems revealed in the Bible: the baptism of Jesus and the lack of the baptism for the thief on the cross. What is that issue for us as Christians? Well, it's two things. It is a symbol of Christ's redeeming work for and in the believer. His death by crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection victory over death's power. The believer dies to sin with Christ and lives a new life, a new eternal life in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ gained victory over sin and death. The believer also has that victory in Christ. Look at Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. What shall I say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Just focus in there for a moment on verse 4, where it says, Therefore we were buried with him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Baptism by immersion is a picture of death and burial and resurrection to a new life of Jesus Christ, our identification with that. And second, the importance of the proper mode or method of baptism. It is a picture of the believer's identification with Jesus Christ. And how is that? Well, it's baptism by immersion. Immersion is the literal meaning of the Greek word baptizo, translated baptized. The words sprinkle or pour are never used in the Bible in relation to baptism. That practice of sprinkling or pouring began with the Roman Catholic Church during the 13th century. The church began to teach sacramental grace, that grace was mediated through a ritual. You had to do something and you would receive grace from God. So why immersion? Well, immersion pictures a believer's death to sin, burial of the old life, and resurrection to walk in newness of life in Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ. It's a testimony of faith in the final resurrection, the ultimate victory over the death of the grave. Baptism is an ordinance. That means it's a command of the Lord. Therefore, it's an act of obedience to him. It's often recognized as the first act of obedience. Baptism is a prerequisite to gaining membership in the local body of believers. Some churches make it a prerequisite to participation in the Lord's Supper. Others don't. Why? Well, obedience. The Baptist Faith and Message of the Southern Baptist Convention statement reads this: Christian baptism is the immersion of a believer in water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is an act of obedience symbolizing the believer's faith in a crucified, buried, and risen Savior. The believer's death to sin, the burial of the old life, and the resurrection to walk in newness of life in Christ Jesus. It is a testimony to his faith in the final resurrection of the Lord. Being a church ordinance, it is prerequisite to the privileges of church membership and to the Lord's Supper. A sacramental meaning of baptism is that grace is mediated by way of the ritual. The proper method with a sacramental meaning is not New Testament baptism. Full sacramental is to baptize babies and converts. Partial sacramental, it completes the salvation by faith. Listen, the proper meaning of baptism symbolizes Christ's redeeming work by his death, burial, and resurrection. The proper mode, well, only immersion expresses that proper meaning. The proper method with a sacramental meaning is not New Testament baptism. Change the mode and the meaning is lost. Or change the meaning and the mode doesn't matter. Baptism presents an outward witness to your inward change in salvation. If not saved, going under the water, you just get wet. There's nothing magical about the water. If you are saved, going into the water, you still get wet. And you give witness to the change Jesus Christ has made in your life. What about you? Did you believe and then get baptized? Was your understanding of baptism as I've explained it in this session? Infant baptism or pre-salvation baptism is not biblical. And salvation tied to baptism is not biblical. Those coming into the body of believers from other Christian groups, possibly not like doctrine, need to be examined and may need to be rebaptized. It must be clear for people coming from other belief traditions, we don't accept another theology on salvation and baptism. You need to get it. Do you need to get it right? What if you believed and you were not baptized? Well, it can be a source of doubt, not assured of your salvation. It can be an opening for disobedience, sin, a walk of rebellion, a hardness of heart, being easily tossed about by Satan. You think about all that, and you have a great day.